There is moral freedom in soul. Never contract the horizon of a worthy outlook by the selfish exaction of all another's time and thoughts. With additional joys, benevolence should grow more diffusive. The narrowness and jealousy which would confine a wife or a husband forever within four walls will not promote the sweet interchange of confidence and love. But on the other hand, a wandering desire for incessant amusement outside the home circle is a poor augury for the happiness of wedlock. Home is the dearest spot on earth, and it should be the center, though not the boundary, of the affections. Said the peasant bride to her lover, "Two eat no more together than they eat separately." This is a hint that a wife ought not to court vulgar extravagance or stupid ease because another supplies her wants. Wealth may obviate the necessity for toil or the chance for ill nature in the marriage relation, but nothing can abolish the cares of marriage. She that is married careth how she may please her husband, says the Bible, and this is the pleasantest thing to do. Matrimony should never be entered into without a full recognition of its enduring obligations on both sides. There should be the most tender solicitude for each other's happiness, and mutual attention and approbation should wait on all the years of married life. Mutual compromises will often maintain a compact which might otherwise become unbearable. Man should not be required to participate in all the annoyances and cares of domestic economy, nor should woman be expected to understand political economy. Fulfilling the different demands of their united spheres, their sympathies should blend in sweet confidence and cheer, each partner sustaining the other, thus hallowing the union of interests and affections in which the heart finds peace and home. Tender words and unselfish care in what promotes the welfare and happiness of your wife will prove more salutary in prolonging her health and smiles than stolid indifference or jealousy. Husbands, hear this and remember how slight a word or deed may renew the old trysting times. After marriage, it is too late to grumble over incompatibility of disposition. A mutual understanding should exist before this union and continue ever after, for deception is fatal to happiness. The nuptial vow should never be annulled so long as its moral obligations are kept intact. But the frequency of divorce shows that the sacredness of this relationship is losing its influence, and that fatal mistakes are undermining its foundations. Separation never should take place, and it never would, if both husband and wife were genuine Christian scientists. Science inevitably lifts one's being higher in the scale of harmony and happiness. Kindred tastes, motives, and aspirations are necessary to the formation of a happy and permanent companionship. The beautiful in character is also the good, welding indissolubly the links of affection. A mother's affection cannot be weaned from her child because the mother love includes purity and constancy, both of which are immortal. Therefore, maternal affection lives on under whatever difficulties. From the logic of events, we learn that selfishness and impurity alone are fleeting, and that wisdom will ultimately put asunder what she hath not joined together. Marriage should improve the human species, becoming a barrier against vice, a protection to woman, strength to man, and a center for the affections. This, however, in a majority of cases, is not its present tendency. And why? Because the education of the higher nature is neglected, and other considerations, passion, frivolous amusements, personal adornment, display, and pride occupy thought. An ill-attuned ear calls discord harmony, not appreciating concord. So physical sense, not discerning the true happiness of being, places it on a false basis. Science will correct the discord and teach us life's sweeter harmonies. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment.